Grace and peace to you, dear sisters and brothers in Christ. We gather this morning from many countries and many different stories. Some of us are here in Geneva, others may be joining the live stream from somewhere else. Some of us have recently returned from vacation while others are preparing to leave. This is summer, and summer often brings a slower rhythm. Offices become quieter, the evenings are long, markets are full of fruit, and meals sometimes move outdoors. But this summer has also felt extremely hot. And even here in Geneva, we have searched for shade and watched the grass turn dry. And we have also seen troubling images of wildfires in France and Spain and across Southern Europe. Well, summer can be beautiful and generous, but it can also leave the earth and us thirsty. And perhaps this is why the word of Isaiah sounds especially vivid today. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come and drink. Come and eat. Come without money and without price. It's a beautiful image of abundance. And yet, I don't know if you paid attention exactly today to the gospel, because the gospel story we have just heard begins somewhere else. It begins with grief. Matthew tells us that Jesus withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. And he had just heard that John the Baptist had been killed. He knew John the Baptist. John had prepared the way for Jesus and baptized him in the Jordan. Now he is dead. And Jesus withdrew to be alone. There is something deeply human in this moment. Jesus does not ignore his sorrow or act as though nothing has happened. He looks for a quiet place where he can grieve. And many of us understand the need. When something painful happens, we may simply need space to grieve or simply to be silent. But Jesus does not find the solitude he is seeking. The people hear where he has gone and follow him on foot from the towns. And by the time his boat reaches the shore, the deserted place is full of people. They had brought their sicknesses, their worries, and their hopes, and they are waiting for him. So we might expect Jesus to be frustrated. Yet Matthew tells us that when he sees the crowd, he has compassion for them. The word compassion means more than feeling sorry for someone. It means being in the deepest part of oneself moved very deeply. And Jesus' compassion becomes action. And although he is carrying his own grief, he does not treat the people as an interruption. He steps ashore, enters the crowd, and heals those who are sick. The day passes, and evening comes. And now the disciples begin to worry. They are far from the towns, it is getting late, and the crowd has nothing to eat. And their suggestion is reasonable. Send the people away while there is still time for them to find food in the surrounding villages. There is nothing cruel in this suggestion. The disciples are not trying to get rid of the crowd. They are just being realistic. There are thousands of people, and the disciples do not have the resources to feed them. And they reach the obvious conclusion: there is not enough. We know that conclusion. There is not enough time, not enough money, there is not enough energy or people to carry the work. Scarcity is real. And Jesus does not shame the disciples for seeing it, but he does not allow their calculation to decide how the story will end. They need not go away, he says. You give them something to eat. The disciples had assumed that the people must leave Jesus and find what they needed somewhere else. But Jesus begins with a different word. They need not go away. And before he tells the disciples what to do, he says that the crowd may remain. Their hunger does not exclude them from his presence, and their need is not a reason to send them away. This is the good news for us as well. We sometimes imagine that we should come to Jesus only when we have something to offer, after putting our lives in order or strengthening our faith. But Jesus welcomes us in our need. We do not have to go away because we are tired or hide because our faith feels weak. Our questions, our failures, and our hunger do not disqualify us from the presence of Christ. The disciples still see the practical problem. We have here nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish. The food is already in their hands, and they look at what they have and compare it with the size of the crowd. 5 loaves, 2 fish, thousands of hungry people. And Jesus does not ask them to produce more. He simply says, "Bring them here to me." That small sentence changes everything. What is insufficient in the disciples' hands is placed into the hands of Jesus. They do not have to make it adequate. They bring what they have, and Jesus receives it. He asks the crowd to sit down on the grass. Then he takes the bread, looks up to heaven, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to the disciples who carry it into the crowd. The church has long heard something familiar in these actions. Soon we will hear similar words at the Lord's table. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you." And here we come to the center of the gospel. This story is not mainly about what the disciples offer to Jesus. It is about what Jesus gives to them and through them. They do not create the abundance. Christ does. They receive from him and place what they have received into the hands of others. Grace begins not with what we offer to God, but with what God gives to us. And this is also the promise we hear today in the book of Isaiah. "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat." It is a strange invitation. In an ordinary marketplace, we cannot buy without money. But Isaiah is speaking about a gift that cannot be purchased. God's mercy is not for sale. Forgiveness is not a reward. Life with God is not reserved for those who have proved themselves worthy. We come thirsty and hungry without nothing that could pay for what God gives. And God says, "Come." Isaiah then asks, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" Dear sisters and brothers, we spend so much energy trying to prove that we are enough. We work, achieve, and compare. And we tell ourselves that we will rest when the next task is finished or the next problem is solved. Yet another task always comes and the soul remains hungry. God does not place another demand upon us today. He invites us to receive. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Our psalm describes this same grace through the image of an open hand. And these words may be familiar to many of you. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. So God's hand opens before ours. And God feeds us before sending us to feed others. Now, let's get back to the gospel story. On that hillside, the disciples walk among the people with the bread they have received from Jesus. And perhaps they still wonder how far it will go. They give some to one family, then to another, and to another. But the bread does not run out. Everyone eats. Everyone is satisfied. And when the meal is finished, the disciples gather 12 baskets of broken pieces. There was nothing wrong about the arithmetic. The disciples were wrong where the story would end. And it would not end with the hungry crowd being sent away. It would end with the compassion of Christ and a meal that none of them could have produced. And of course, this does not mean that hunger and suffering are not real, or that every shortage will disappear if only we share more, if only we produce more. The gospel is not a command to exhausted people to try harder or somehow make everything sufficient. The gospel is that Christ is present in the deserted place. He sees the crowd. He knows they hunger. He receives what is small and gives to know what no one else can provide. And only then does he invite the disciples to take part. You give them something to eat. So the command follows the gift. The disciples can serve because they first receive from Christ. And what passes through their hands has already passed through his. And this is also our Christian vocation, and sometimes it appears in very ordinary ways. During my vacation, I read a book in Polish titled Przywróceni do życia, Pokonać samobójstwo, Restored to Life, Overcoming Suicide, written by two excellent psychologists and psychotherapists. And this book contains the testimonies of people who had reached the darkest moment of their life, but who are still alive today. And what moved me was how small the turning point sometimes seemed. For one person, it was a simple, unexpected text message. For another, it was a dog who came close and seemed to sense that something was wrong. For someone else, it was the quiet, non-judgmental presence of another person and their readiness to listen. And of course, these are not solutions to every problem. There were small signs of presence that interrupted the darkness and opened a space in which life could continue. And perhaps these two are like five loaves and two fish, something that appears very small in our hands, but becomes immeasurably precious in the life of another person. A message, a visit, a question asked with real concern, a willingness to stay and to listen. We may never know how much such a gift can mean. Christians are not asked to save the world with their own five loaves. We are called to place what we have in the hands of Christ and to carry what we receive from him to our neighbor. Some days we are like the disciples carrying the bread. Sometimes we are like part of this big crowd waiting to receive it, and usually we are both. In a few moments, those of us gathered here will come to the Lord's table. Those joining us online are gathered by the same word and held in the same promise of God's grace. We do not come because we have brought enough or because our faith is perfect. We come with open, empty hands, and Christ places his promise into them. His body given for you. His mercy given freely. His forgiveness neither earned nor purchased. And at this table, Christ does not send hungry people away. He feeds us, restores us, and gathers us into one body. And then he sends us back into the world carrying what we have received from him. The disciples were right. 5 loaves and 2 fish were not enough. But their scarcity was not the end of the story, and nor is ours. The story began with grief, but grief did not have the last word. The compassion of Jesus did. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. Amen.